Should you support the national lettuce boycott? Arguing in support of the proposal is Manuel Aragon, a businessman from Los Angeles and a leader in the Mexican-American community. Appearing as witnesses for Mr. Aragon are Dolores Huerta of the United Farm Workers and Father Eugene Boyle of the Jesuit School of Theology in Berkeley. Arguing against the proposal is John Harmer, Republican State Senator from California. Appearing as witnesses for Mr. Harmer are Paul England, a lettuce grower from Salinas, California, Father Michael Cross of Salinas, and William Grammy of the Western Teamsters.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
Moderator Michael Dukakis has just called tonight's meeting to order.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome once again to the advocates from Boston's historic Faneuil Hall, which happens to be in the heart of Boston's busy open-air produce market. A fitting setting and a fitting place in which to debate tonight's question, should you support the national lettuce boycott? Advocate Manuel Aragon says yes.
In the great boycott, you helped Cesar Chavez beat the growers. Now the lettuce growers have made a deal with the Teamsters to try to stop Cesar Chavez, and he wants your help again. Boycott lettuce.
John Harmer says no.
To support the boycott is to support a social movement that is itself exploiting the worker. This not only hurts the worker, but the grower and you, the consumer, as well. The answer is not a boycott, but legislation which protects all parties within their rights.
Thank you, gentlemen. 90% of America's iceberg lettuce is grown in California and Arizona. It is picked by hand by some 15,000 farm workers, most of them Mexican-Americans. Like all agricultural workers, these men and women were specifically excluded from the labor legislation of the 1930s, which was designed and did promote the growth of unions in other industries. In fact, that exclusion explains in part why past efforts to organize farm workers have largely failed. Today, the situation has changed, largely because of the leadership of Cesar Chavez, leader of the UFW, the United Farm Workers. In the late 1960s, Chavez successfully organized California's grape pickers by strikes, pressure on the grocers, and by a national consumer boycott of table grapes. In 1970, Chavez and the United Farm Workers turned their attention and shifted their emphasis to lettuce pickers. But they found new opposition in the form of a rival union. The Teamsters, who for years had represented workers who operate farm machinery and now were trying to extend their membership to include field hands. A large number of farm owners signed contracts with the Teamsters, largely because they regarded the Teamsters as less of a threat to their traditional rights of ownership and management than the United Farm Workers. And so a bitter three-way struggle has developed. Faced with grower opposition, a powerful rival union, and the prospect of legislation which might restrict its efforts, the United Farm Workers have now begun a campaign to arouse public support for its cause. This is a head of iceberg lettuce. As a part of that campaign, consumers all across the country are being asked to buy it or not, depending on whether it has the Black Eagle emblem, the emblem of the United Farm Workers. And so tonight, the advocates addresses this question to each of you. Mr. Aragon, why should consumers support the national lettuce boycott?
You know, 200 years ago, some men gathered in this place to proclaim their rights. And it's very fitting that we're here tonight in this same place to proclaim the rights, these very same rights, for men and women and children in the lettuce fields of California. The growers have always fought the efforts of farm workers to unionize themselves. And it was only until Cesar Chavez came along that that resistance was broken, and you helped him with the great boycott. It was ironic that on the very day that the great boycott was ended, 27 lettuce growers in Salinas rushed suddenly into contracts with the Teamsters and signed their workers over to the Teamsters Union. Cesar Chavez had asked for elections before those contracts were signed to see which union the workers preferred, but he was ignored. So Chavez called a strike, and 7,000 lettuce pickers responded and shut down all lettuce harvesting. And that strike stuck on until a local justice, a local judge, stopped it, broke it with an injunction. And then Cesar Chavez called for the boycott. It was his only way of breaking through the power of the growers and their control over the local judges. He went to the California Supreme Court, and 2 years later, that injunction was knocked down, but it was too late. The strike had been broken. So now Cesar Chavez needs your help. He wants you to boycott lettuce. And here to help us explain what the lettuce boycott means, we have our first witness, Mrs. Dolores Huerta.
Welcome to the Advocates, Mrs. Huerta. Nice to have you with us.
Thank you.
Mrs. Huerta has worked for 20 years alongside Cesar Chavez in defending the rights of farm workers, and she's vice president of the United Farm Workers Union. Mrs. Huerta, why do farm workers need their own union?
Farm workers need a union because they are the lowest paid people in terms of their wages in the country. Farm workers feed the country, but they don't earn enough money to feed their own families. And this is why they are struggling to get a union. Farm workers have a higher child mortality rate of 120% above the national average. The average earnings of farm workers in the United States of America is only $1,400 a year. And this is why farm workers need a union.
How do you know that the farm workers support the United Farm Workers Union?
In every instance where we have had a fair secret ballot election, the farm workers have overwhelmingly voted for our union. The farm workers have come out on strike time and again in the citrus industry, in the grapes, in the lettuce, in the strawberries, asking for the farm workers to represent them, for the union of Cesar Chavez, because the farm workers want their own leadership, they want their own union, they want to be able to determine their own destiny.
Aside from these very important things, Ms. Huerta, what benefits do the farm workers get from belonging to the union?
Since our union started in 1965, when we had the first grape strike in Delano, the wages of the farm workers in the grapes have gone from 80 cents an hour, what they were earning then, to over $2 an hour. The farm workers now have their own medical plan, which is paid for by the employers. The farm workers have their own clinics. The farm workers have toilets in the fields, they have drinking water, and where we have union contracts, they have protections from pesticides. And this is one of the very important issues, because the farm workers are tired of being poisoned in the fields. And we have a recent incident where over 40,000 acres of lettuce were poisoned, were contaminated in Imperial Valley. And only in those places where the farm workers have raised a voice of protest, in St. Louis, in Chicago, in Los Angeles, in Oakland, where they found that the contaminated lettuce is now being found by the Food and Drug Administration.
So one of the provisions in your contracts is for a hiring hall where you provide the workers to the growers. What's the advantage of that for the workers?
This removes the exploitation of the labor contractor who charges and gets a commission for the, it's really like a slave driver, and we're trying to end the system of exploitation. So the union furnishes a hiring hall, which it does not cost the employer anything or the worker anything, where they are referred to their jobs.
Tell us about the boycott. Now, a boycott is a very difficult thing to organize. Why have you undertaken such a difficult task?
Well, we feel that the boycott is the only nonviolent way that we can get justice for farm workers. Our strikes are continually broken by injunctions of the local courts who have strong grower support, and all of our strikes are broken by these injunctions. And so we have to then go to the consumers of the country and ask them to get social justice for farm workers through the nonviolent means of supporting the boycotts as they did in the grapes.
Now, if a consumer wants to support your boycott, what can he do? Maybe we have that box of those, please.
Well, we feel that the supermarkets have a tremendous amount of control. They have almost a monopoly control over purchasing. We feel that the supermarkets should have a corporate responsibility towards people, and that the consumer should be given produce that is picked under sanitary conditions, where there is the United Farm Workers contract, where we do have these conditions. And one way to tell us, of course, if there is a United Farm Workers label, which is similar to the eagle that I'm wearing on my poncho, and which appears on, at least on wrap lettuce, mm-hmm. on the cellophane.
This company here, is this under contract to the farm workers?
Yes, that's the Inter Harvest
company.
Seal.
Yes. This is the seal here, I believe.
Yes, it is. And I would say that if people are in doubt, about if they are in doubt that they should not buy any lettuce at all, any iceberg lettuce at all. This is a very easy way for everyone to help farm workers get social justice, because we know that we can be successful if everyone will help us.
Now, you might have taken a boycott against chain stores, especially A&P and Safeway. Why have you done that?
Well, we've done this because A&P and Safeway are the two largest chains in the country, Safeway on the West Coast and A&P on the East Coast. They have refused to stop handling lettuce, even though they know that some of the lettuce, as I say, that they have handled is contaminated. Over 7,000 crates of lettuce that was contaminated with monitored 4, which is a very toxic poison similar to parathion, were uncovered in Los Angeles. Only 2,000 of these crates were buried. The other 5,000 have not been accounted for. The same thing happened in Oakland, and yet they have not done this. Now, over in St. Louis, they found a whole car lot of contaminated lettuce that was going to the A&P stores in St. Louis.
What is the union doing about these things?
Well,
we are
bringing this to the attention of the consumers, and we think that this should not be kept hushed up, that the Food and Drug Administration should be truthful to the public about these very dangerous situations that exist in the lettuce field.
All right, Mrs. Wendell, let's turn to Mr. Herbert, who has some questions for you. Mr. Herbert?
Can we have the box stay there, please? Thank you. Just leave it there. Ms. Huerta, how many growers does your union have contracts with?
Several hundred, Senator Harmer.
How many lettuce growers, Ms. Huerta?
Lettuce growers, we have been able to get the Inter-Harvest Company, the Fennerman Company, Fresh Pick Company under contract through our boycott.
You currently have contracts with at least two growers then, right? And one of them is Inter-Harvest.
No, three growers. I think you're mistaken on it.
Three lettuce growers. Fine. Now, I happen to have here your... would you leave the box there? Thank you. I happen to have here your contract with Inter-Harvest. And I happen to have here the Teamster contract with some 170 growers in California. And I'd like to talk to you about these two contracts, and we'd like to have another box brought up here. A box which is from one of the growers where... the Teamsters Union represents the workers. Now, under your contract, Ms. Huerta, is there a pension plan?
No, there is not a pension plan.
So under the contract where that lettuce was picked, there is no pension plan?
No.
But under the contract where this lettuce was picked, this contract, there's a very generous pension plan.
I don't think anyone has ever seen that pension plan, Senator Harmer. I think it's a myth.
Well, Ms. Huerta, it happens to be administered by a trust. It happens to be that, in fact, it's so generous that any worker who comes to work for one of these farms gets 18 and a half years credit if he has worked that long for a grower. He could retire under the provisions of that contract within 2 years after it's been signed. But let's go on, Ms. Huerta, and let's find out.
Senator, I'd like to respond.
No, you don't ask me questions. I ask you.
Senator Harmer, let me ask. Do you have a response to that, Ms. Huerta?
Yes, I do, because I know many cannery workers that are covered under that same pension plan that have worked under Teamsters contracts for 20 years and have never seen their pension.
All right. As long as they're still working, we'll leave it to another witness to answer that. Mrs. Huerta, under your contract, is there unemployment insurance provided for your workers?
No, there isn't, Senator.
But there is under the contract that the workers who picked that lettuce are being paid under. So now we have no pension plan and no unemployment insurance. Now...
Well, I'd like to respond to that, Senator Harmer, because you were one of the leaders in the Assembly, in the State Senate that voted down the unemployment insurance coverage for farm workers. And as we know, Governor Regan vetoed the bill after it passed.
May I remind you that in a contract which the Teamsters signed with the Pirelli-Minetti Company in 1966 with some great workers, there was unemployment insurance provided, even though California state law didn't provide it. When that Teamster contract was turned over to your union, the unemployment insurance was taken out. So apparently both of us have some real problems with unemployment insurance. But
that's
nonetheless,
right.
The Teamsters don't.
The farm workers under
the Teamsters
Pirelli
have
contract.
Given all of their workers unemployment insurance.
Let her answer the question and make a response. Ms. Werner, a brief response.
Yes, under the Pirelli-Minetti contract that the Teamsters had, not one farm worker was able to collect the so-called unemployment insurance. And so we put that back into the contract in the form of wages and a vacation pay.
I see. Thank you, Mrs. Werner. One final point. I compared the wage scales under these two contracts. I find, without exception, that the workers who picked that lettuce, the Teamster Union workers, are higher paid than the workers who picked the Inter-Harvest lettuce. And now one final point.
Well, I'd like to respond to that, Senator.
Please,
because
do.
You would find that if you went to Salinas or to Calexico, that the contract that you are holding is a fraud, and not one farmer is getting the wages that are listed in that contract.
I see. Well, that's interesting that you know that. Are the workers under your contract getting their wages?
They certainly are, Senator. And we have a very good grievance procedure in case they don't.
Mrs. Huerta, you seemed very concerned in your opening comments about elections. And as you have correctly pointed out, you and I have met before in the California State Legislature. On one of those occasions when we met, a piece of legislation which I was not the author, having to do with giving the farm worker a secret ballot, was under discussion. You said, and I quote from a newspaper account of your testimony against the legislation giving the farm worker the right to vote, quote, "They don't know what an election is. They don't understand democracy," unquote. You said this with reference to Assembly Bill 964 by Mr. Corey in 1971. Now it seems that you're very, very disturbed over the lack of elections having to do with the Teamster contracts in Salinas. I'm curious as to when you changed your mind about the voter, about the workers' ability to engage in an election.
I have never changed my mind, Senator. Our first election, which, by the way, was
Do you deny this statement?
Yes, I do.
I'm
trying to answer your question, Senator. Our first election that we had was at the DeGeorge Corporation, and we were on the ballot, the Teamsters were on the ballot, and we overwhelmingly won that election. The bill that you are referring to, AB 964, was a bill which prohibited the union shop, which took away the boycott, which put a person who supported our boycott in jail for a year or a $5,000 fine, and which in its final form, as Proposition 22, was overwhelmingly defeated by the voters of California 2-1 in the last general election.
And may I remind you, Mrs. Huerta, that in that very hearing, when the chairman of the committee said to you, "What type of legislation will you support?" you said, "Absolutely none." You said, "We will not come forth."
Senator, I am here present, and I can speak for myself, and we will definitely support legislation that will give the farm workers a union. In that, we would want the same kind of legislation that allowed the Teamsters and other unions to organize, which was the Wagner Act, which allowed other unions to have the right of boycott. We think this is a very sacred right, and all we are asking for is to give us the same rights that the other unions had when they were organizing.
Let's talk.
Farmer, I'm sorry, we've run out of time. This is where I thank you very much for being in the audience. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Pointed out that the legislation the senator was talking about was turned down by the voters, too. By 1.5 million votes, the California voters turned down that same piece of legislation he was talking about. Our next witness is Father Eugene Boyle. Father Boyle.
Father, the abbot of Father Boyle. Nice to have you with us. Nice to have you.
Father Boyle is director of the Justice and Peace of the National Federation of Peace Councils. Father Boyle, why do you personally support the farm workers and their boycott?
Well, I think I should start off personally by saying that I have been associated in one way or another with the farm workers and their struggles since 1965. And I support the farm workers, the United Farm Workers, led by Cesar Chavez, Doris Wirt, and others, because I see it as the most viable instrument for the realization of the principles of social justice that I stand for and that others of other religious groups stand for. I believe that this union, with its emphasis on dignity for the individual, or independence for the person who belongs to the union, this union, with its insistence that the workers have a right to participate in decisions which affect their own lives, is the best means and instrument by which workers can finally break the last vestige of feudalism in this country.
Do you think that this is? Do you think the United Farm Workers and Cesar Chavez would have the broad support of the clergy unless they were nonviolent?
No, I say that the reason that they do have the broad support, and I would say that the support given to this social movement, and I'm not afraid of that term, after all, labor was one time called the movement.
What's wrong with the labor movement and social conscience, after
all? There's nothing wrong at all, but what I'm saying is that there's never been, in my knowledge of the history of labor in this country, any instance where a movement like this has received such universal support from the clergy. And that goes across the board. I don't say that it's complete or total. That would be brought out to you this evening. But nonetheless, it is quite universal in California and throughout the country.
Why do you support the farm workers and not the Teamsters Union?
Well, I don't believe that the Teamsters really represent the farm workers. You read a lot about the jurisdictional agreements that were reached between the workers and others, between the Teamsters and United Farm Workers, or the ones that happened under the Bishop's Committee. I would just like to point out that I would
have... Boyle, what was the Bishop's Committee? Can you tell us?
Yes, the Bishop's Ad Hoc Committee on Farm Labor is a committee formed by the United States Catholic Bishops and has been instrumental in being mediator, negotiator, in achieving the contracts between the United Farm Workers and the growers, particularly
in the Central Valley. They supervised several
elections. Mm-hmm. But I just wanted to point out that I was involved in the as one of the mediators in the first attempt to establish some kind of settlement between the Teamsters and United Farm Workers. And that was in 1966, the Crowley Minetti affair. Rabbi Joe Glazer, Father Dick Whitefield, myself were the negotiators at that time. And it was at that time that the Teamsters took over a small group of farm workers in San Jose and more or less subsumed them under their heading and declared them Teamsters and representative of workers. They never were representative of workers as far as...
You don't have much confidence in them, in other words.
I really think that, and I don't speak of all the Teamsters, obviously. I'm speaking of those I know in California.
You're talking about the Western Conference.
I'm talking particularly about the Western Conference, and I'm talking about one of the witnesses who's here, Bill Grammy. I'm not trying to universalize this at all, but the Supreme Court decision has, I think, pretty well brought this up.
We'll explain the Supreme Court decision in just a moment. I want to make sure we get to the practice of labor contractors. Now, what is a labor contractor? What is your objection to?
I think that Mrs.
Brief answer, please.
I think Mrs. Werta brought that out. It's a labor contractor is an exploiter of labor. He picks the workers up, from the pool of labor. He charges a commission to the farmer. He also takes cuts off the wages of the worker. All he does is deliver workers wherever it happens to be to the grower. He has no other responsibility for them.
He's a body merchant.
He's a body merchant, or he's a paymaster also, and keeps the money that he wants.
All right, Father Boyle, let's turn now to Mr. Harmon, who has some questions for you. Mr. Harmon.
Father Boyle, you are familiar with the recent Supreme Court decision in California, which held that these contracts executed between the growers and the Teamsters were legal, are you not?
That's right.
There's no doubt in your mind that these are legal contracts.
They're legal contracts under California law, yes.
That's right.
Because California has no legislation that deals in a organized way with labor.
Thanks to Cesar Chavez. Now, Father Boyle, as a member of the clergy, you express some moral concern in this issue. Does your moral concern go to the truthfulness of the representations made on this issue?
Of course.
It does. Good. Then you may have noted that tonight, as people entered this hall, they were handed this flyer by the representatives of the union. The flyer says in it, among other things, that the Teamster contracts were recently declared by the California Supreme Court to be fraudulent. I don't think you're a lawyer, are you, Father Boyle? Or are you?
Are you a lawyer?
Yes. No, I'm not a lawyer. No.
All right. Now then, I don't expect you to know the legal meaning of the word fraudulent.
I'm not sure it makes any difference, Father.
I mean,
it's just a matter of international.
Well, please ask me if I know the legal meaning of fraudulent. So
do you?
I do not. I know what fraud means in ordinary common language.
In ordinary common language.
Fraud that has been perpetrated often enough,
What does fraud mean in ordinary common language to you, Father Boyle? Are these Teamster contracts fraudulent, Father Boyle?
These Teamster contracts, I would
say... In the words of the Supreme Court, as the flyer says.
Well, I would say this about the Supreme Court, what the Supreme Court said. It said it could not declare these contracts invalid, illegal.
That's right.
Because there is no particular law. However, they clearly indicated in their statement that there was, this whole matter of the ultimate favoritism that was involved.
Oh, wait a minute. Now, you're concerned, are you, about the fact that the Teamsters contracts were arrived at without a voice of the worker?
That's right.
Where was your voice of concern when the day before, in Delano, 26 growers signed with the Chavez Union without any voice of their workers. Did you raise your voice in concern then?
Well, I mean, first of all, I would have to, feel that
it was done in the same way.
I would have to see the facts about that.
You are unaware of the fact when you participated on the Bishop's Ad Hoc Committee that 26 growers signed the day before?
Wait, let's get something.
Without a voice of the workers?
Let's get something clear. I am not a member of the Bishop's Ad Hoc Committee. Let's make that clear.
All right. You did participate, did you not, according to your own words, in the negotiations between the growers and the workers?
The first one in 1966.
All right.
Prior to the formation of the Bishop's Ad Hoc Committee.
Let's just then get to this one simple question, Father. Is there any difference between the July 28th contracts between the union, meaning the farm workers, the Chavez Union in Delano, with 26 grape growers, where not one worker election was held before they were signed, and the July 29th contracts in Salinas between the growers and the Teamsters? Is there any difference?
There is a great difference. First of all, there are other ways of determining, you know, the representation of a union and the fact that it has the support of its workers than simply the election. As you well know, even under Taft-Hartley law, the idea of the card check and also even the strike is a clear indication that a union has the support of its workers.
You alleging that one of these things took place, Father?
Yes, I do. I am alleging that took place.
Okay, let's just stipulate your answer and move on. You made in your opening statement a reference to the fact that you thought here was an organization which enhanced the dignity of its members. I'd like you to tell me of your fatherly concern about that organization as I read to you this account from the Friday, January 12, 1973, Imperial Valley Press, regarding one of the workers, one of the growers against whom that union is striking. And it says, quote, two DiArrigo Brothers workers in a field northwest of Brawley were injured at about 9 a.m. today when a roving band identified by company spokesmen as United Farm Worker Pickets suddenly attacked the lettuce crew. Struck in the back by a tree stump was Paul Gurry, a crew supervisor for the company. Gurry was taken to Pioneers Memorial Hospital. A second worker was cut on the arm by a knife, it was reported, but remained in the field at work. There have been, since the first of this year, more than a dozen documented instances of violence perpetrated by that union and its dignity against these workers. What is your feeling about that, Father?
I'm willing to debate any time with you that the United Farm Workers Union is its attitude toward nonviolence and its attempt to achieve nonviolence, not perfect, of course, is unprecedented in the annals of labor history.
One brief question, please, Mr. Harbor, and a brief response, please.
A yes or no answer. Have the National Conference of Bishops of the Catholic Church endorsed the lettuce boycott?
They have not. They have not. The committee itself has.
Thank you, Father Boyle, for being with us.
Well, the one thing that Senator Harmer didn't tell you, that the Imperial Valley Press from the Imperial Valley of California, one of the most reactionary areas in the whole state, and I know because I grew up in that town, in that place, is not a very reliable source of information for the kind of information reporting. I only have, keep this in mind also, he's going to talk a lot about those contracts between the Teamsters and the growers. The California Supreme Court said this, and I'm talking fast because I'm out of time. From a practical point of view, an employer's grant of exclusive bargaining status to a non-representative union, Mr. Grammy's, must be considered as the ultimate form of favoritism, completely substituting the employer's choice, Mr. Eglin's, of unions for his employees' desires. And that's what the Supreme Court said. It said it was the employer's choice of union for his employees.
Thank you, Mr. Aragon. For those of you at home who are watching us may have joined us late, Mr. Aragon and his witnesses have been supporting the national lettuce boycott of the United Farm Workers, and now we're going to turn to Mr. Harmer and his witnesses who will oppose that.
That is not true. 95% of the lettuce harvested in this country is harvested by union employees. 90% of those union employees happen to belong to the International Brotherhood of Teamsters. 5% of them happen to belong to Cesar Chavez's union. In effect, then, you're being asked to boycott one union's lettuce in favor of another union's lettuce. You're being asked to decide between two unions, and we submit to you that is not what the consumer ought to be doing, it's what the worker ought to be doing. A boycott will simply undermine the work of a union which has already achieved greater benefits for its workers than has the union which is asking you to engage in the boycott. That union spends its time engaging in boycotts, social causes, and the deification of its leadership. To tell you further why you should not support the boycott, I call my first witness of the evening, Father Michael Cross of Salinas, California. Father Cross is a parish priest in Salinas. He was born on a farm in the San Joaquin Valley of California. He's worked with the farm workers all his life. Father Cross, I want to read to you some statements from a flyer that has been distributed in front of some of the A&P stores that will be boycotted in the next few days, and ask you to comment from your personal knowledge with farm workers on the truthfulness of these. The average income of a family of four working full-time is $2,700 a year, unquote.
This is false. A lettuce picker in the Salinas Valley can make as much as $10,000 a year. The average is between $7,000 and $8,000.
Thank you, Father Boyle. Here's the next, or Father Cross. You all look alike. It says 800 workers are killed per year as a result of the misuse of pesticides.
According to the official records for the state of California, there have occurred no deaths among farm workers due to pesticides since 1968 to the present.
You heard Mrs. Huerta's great concern about pesticides. If there were 800 people killed a year in California for pesticides, or in the world, in the country, surely 80 of those 800 would have to live in a state with a tenth of the population. Yet you tell us that the State Department of Health says how many died of pesticides?
None.
None. I wonder where all the others came from. 90. Father Cross, I'm about to show you some filmed excerpts of California farm workers who talk about their experiences with the United Farm Workers and Cesar Chavez.
He gathered us like a whole bunch of cattle, and we were told either you sign or you get out of the farm.
And now we have to work the 10 hours to make what we used to make when we only worked about 6-7 hours.
If I want to say what I want to say, how they going to tell me I can't say it? If I'm going to say it in front of somebody, and then they go in and say, well, this person been talking about the union, that's just like a communist country.
I have been threatened by telephone that my life is at stake for what I say. But I believe that if I can't say the truth, and I'm not an American citizen, I am an American citizen.
Father Cross, why are these people so disenchanted with the Chavez Union?
Well, they make less money for one thing. They're discriminated against in the hiring hall, which belongs to the union, operated by the union. And I think they're sick and tired of the revolutionary aspects. They dislike being harassed by the Chavistas. And
I'm sorry, Father, but what?
The Chavistas, the supporters of Chavez, which they are not always farm workers. They're people who are looking out for the interests of the union and not the farm workers.
Father Cross, time for one last question. In August of 1970, you found it necessary to go into the lettuce fields and work with your parishioners in order to protect them from some violence. Would you tell us what the circumstances were that led you to go into the lettuce fields and work?
I went out into the fields for a week, primarily to give the moral support to the farm workers who were being intimidated by the Chavistas and the renegade clergy that came into our town. I was pelted with rocks right along with the farm workers.
Father Boyle wasn't one of the renegades, was he?
I don't think Father comes in for the fights.
Thank you.
All right, don't go away, Father. Don't go away. Sit right there. Before you leave, we have to let Mr. Arago.
I can't say that I blame you, though. I wouldn't want to be there in your chair either. Are you saying
Father Cross, really, that farm workers are just doing absolutely fine. They're making plenty of money. They're happy. They don't need a farm union.
What I'm saying is that the farm workers, in this case, exist for the union instead of the union existing for the farm workers.
You don't think they should have a union?
I think they have a right to organize. I think they have a right not to organize if they wish. I think they have a right to make a choice between unions.
Now, you know,
a boycott is simply a way of coercing the farm worker into a union, which has already proven itself irresponsible and disrespectful and a hardship to the farm worker.
You're having a little trouble getting that out. But, you know, of course, that film you showed, you know who made that? That was made by the American Farm Bureau Federation, hardly an objective party in this case. And I think
the farm bureau paid the expenses of the farm workers while they were off work, just as the union here pays the expenses of the farm workers for boycotting.
That film was expensive to produce and so on. But let's not dwell on that. Ms. Mendoza was one of the people in that film, Veloz Mendoza. Did you know that Ms. Mendoza is in the labor contracting business?
No, she
is. You ought to find out because she is.
Her husband, I believe.
Oh, her husband's in the labor contractor.
She is
a hard-carrying
UFW member.
Sorry about that. Now, one of the things in that fire, we talked about the
children. We're having a little difficulty understanding both of you because you're speaking at the same time. Let's try one at a time.
One of the items mentioned in that flyer that Senator Harmer showed talks about 400,000 children in the lettuce fields. Do you take exception to that too?
Absolutely. The laws in the state of California require a minor to have a work permit. They have to be at least 16 years of age to have one. No grower is going to hire a minor without a work permit.
We're all aware of what the laws say, but it's a question of what actually happens. Now, let me tell you something. From the Migratory Farm Labor Program of the United States 1969 report of the Subcommittee of Migratory Labor, the Senate Committee on Labor and Public Welfare, best estimates indicate that there are about 800,000 paid farm workers under 16, and these children constitute about one-fourth of the total farm workforce. Were you
No, Mr. Aragon, we're speaking of California. I don't know what's going on in the rest of the part of the country.
You don't think it happens in California, it happens every place else. So it's okay.
They don't want,
in other words,
they don't want
in Arizona,
minors, they don't want
in Arizona,
minors in the field.
Gentlemen, we can't understand you if you both talk.
In other words, if it happens in Arizona, it's okay. If children get exploited in Texas, it's okay, as long as it doesn't happen in your own backyard. One of the things that I'm interested in is your contention that lettuce pickers make a fair living. How much do you think they make?
I beg your pardon?
Lettuce pickers, how much do they make? What did you say?
Their hourly wage rings around $6.40 for an hour because they are on a piece rate.
Now, what you said was that, or opening statement said was that they can earn as much as $10,000 a year. Now, do you really
right.
believe that?
Absolutely.
Do you really
I
think so? Do you know of any farm worker who's
I have seen the pay list of growers. They remember. Some of the growers have operations in the Imperial area in Yuma. A farm worker can actually work 11 months out of the year for the same employer. He is a professional lettuce harvester.
He gets one and a half cents
ahead. I'm sorry, we'll have to interrupt.
Okay. He gets one and a half cents ahead. It takes a long time to pick $10,000 worth.
Father Cross, thank you very much for being with us in the Advocates.
Thank you.
Next witness, Mr. Paul Engle. Mr. England is a grower from Salinas, California. His farm is not one of the corporate giants. It's a family farm. They do have about 120 employees a year or a day working on their farm. Mr. England, can you tell us what the pay is of the farm worker on your farm based on your records?
Our lettuce harvesters and the lettuce harvesters surveyed in a recent survey earn in excess of $213 a week.
Is that 1 week a year, 2 weeks a year?
No, the earnings are available 52 weeks a year in the state of California for California employees and for ours.
You mean you are harvesting lettuce 52 weeks a year?
We harvest lettuce 52 weeks a year. Our employees do earn between $8,000 and $10,000 a year.
Mr. England, do you have a union contract?
Yes, we have a contract with the Teamsters.
Why?
This contract was the result of a demand made upon us during a truck driver negotiation in July of 1970. During that negotiation, the Teamsters made demand for recognition of our field labor. Upon the strike that we took for that truck driver contract, we then signed recognition with the Teamsters. We then signed a contract with the Teamsters.
Mr. England, Mrs. Huerta reluctantly admitted earlier on this show that there are three growers who have contracts with the Chavez Union. At one time, there were six. Are you personally acquainted with these growers and the history of their experience with the Chavez Union?
Yes, I am. There were six contracts in the Salinas Valley. There were one only that has been renewed. There is one that has not yet expired, which accounts for two. There is one other contract that went bankrupt because of quality and labor problems. There is another contract, Fresh Picked, which has expired. It has not been renewed. They have also cut their operation down to very low labor-using crops so that they won't have the problems that have been created by UFLOC. There are two contracts operating today without, or two companies operating today without any contract. I will add that any company under a UFLOC contract in the Salinas Valley in the past 2 years has suffered very greatly from quality control problems within their operations.
This UFLOC is another name for the United Farm Workers.
United Farm Workers Organizing Union.
All right. Let's talk about this quality control problem. Can you give us some specific example of what the lack of quality control under the Chavez Union has done to a lettuce grower?
I think the best example is the DiRigo Brothers of California. They had a contract for 2 years with United Farm Workers. They've been in business for over 50 years prior to that contract. They had an excellent reputation for packing quality produce and delivering a quality product to the marketplace for the consumer. During the 2 years of that contract, their quality deteriorated that they were among the lowest in quality on the marketplace. Upon the termination of the contract in November, they began harvesting with other workers available, and Mr. DiRigo himself stated that within the 2 weeks following the termination of that contract, he received more compliments on the quality of his lettuce than he ever thought of having during the 2 years that he had a contract.
All right, gentlemen, let's turn to Ms. Aragon for some questions, please, now on cross-examination. Mr. Aragon.
Grammy? Mr. Grammy, the Supreme Court decision people have referred to is short title to be England versus Chavez. You were one of the plaintiffs, I believe, in the Supreme Court decision.
Mr. Aragon, just to make people clear to who it is we're talking to, it's Mr. England we're talking to. Mr. Grammy's up next.
I'm sorry, okay. Grammy. Sorry?
Sorry.
Mr. England, you were one of the plaintiffs in that decision that was handed down by the California Supreme Court. When Cesar Chavez called his strike the largest farm worker strike in U.S. agricultural history, isn't it true that the only way you were able to get your workers back to work was by getting a local judge to pass an injunction against the strike?
No, sir, you're quite incorrect.
Well,
the strike started on the 24th of August.
Let him answer, please, sir.
We started harvesting on the 25th of August. I believe you'll find the injunction came in the area of the 16th of September. We were harvesting lettuce, and you'll find that the harvesting records of the Salinas Valley showed a very minimal disruption of production during the period.
The Los Angeles Times reports, Harry Bernstein reports, that lettuce production was down to one-third of its normal for that season, and that was because of the strike. Are you disputing that 7,000 workers turned out for that strike?
I am disputing that there was a strike of 7,000 workers.
Are you disputing that that strike had any effect on your operations?
Well, let me put it this way. There were workers who did not work because of intimidation, because of fear, and because of harassment. Because you do not work because you're intimidated does not make you a striker.
And that's why you called for the injunction.
That's right.
You went to a local judge for an injunction that was turned down by the Supreme Court 2 years later.
Uh-huh.
After the strike was broken.
Now, let's take why it was turned down. It was turned down in that it did not fit within the Jurisdictional Strike Act only. There have been injunctions issued within the last 2 weeks, again, for harassment, intimidation, and violence of pickets of the United Farm Workers Union.
It was turned down because the California court found that there was no jurisdictional strike since they did not consider those contracts binding on the workers.
You'll also find that the court stated that the basic reason for the problem was that the state of California has no comprehensive law whereby to allow for situations like this.
Yeah, but the California court did rely on federal authority, and it said that there has to be a reasonable presumption on the part of the grower that the labor organization with whom he is negotiating expects to represent those workers, and that there was no expectation and even no claim in this particular case. Now, why did you sign those contracts with the Teamsters, knowing that the Teamsters didn't even claim to represent those workers?
We signed those contracts with the Teamsters because we were demanded by them to give them recognition.
expectation and even no claim in this particular case. Now, why did you sign those contracts with the Teamsters knowing that the Teamsters didn't even claim to represent those workers?
We signed those contracts with the Teamsters because we were demanded by them to give them recognition. That is the same provision under law whereby the United Farm Workers has signed their contracts. There is no law in the state of California or under federal government to give the farm workers the right. They need the establishment of comprehensive labor laws to protect the rights of everyone.
Isn't it true, Mr. Englund, that the California Supreme Court said of those contracts that they display the ultimate form of favoritism in which you substituted your choice as an employer?
No, I think you will find that you're in error.
A brief response, please, Mr. Englund.
You'll find that you're in error. They did not say that it was favoritism.
I recommend you read the text.
Mr. Englund, thank you very much.
I call for my next witness, Mr. William Bradley. Mr. Grammy is the Director of Organization for the Western Conference of Teamsters. Mr. Grammy, when did the Teamsters Union first begin working with agricultural workers?
In 1945, when the cannery workers affiliated some 40,000 of them with the Teamsters Union.
When was your first contract with a harvesting crew?
Now, the first contract with the harvesting crews came in about 1947 when we organized the drivers, stitchers, and loaders in the fields, as well as some other viner operations.
And
I'm sorry, Mr. Grammy, for those of us who aren't from out there, viners means what?
Viners is a piece of equipment that separates the peas from the vines and the pods.
Okay. So we can conclude, Mr. Grammy, that the Teamsters have been actively involved with agricultural workers for at least the past 27 years.
Yes, we have.
Mr. Grammy, how many agreements with lettuce growers does the Teamster Union have in the 13 western states?
We have an excess of 170 agreements.
All right. Of all the workers then who are engaged in harvesting lettuce, what percentage of those workers are under Teamster contract?
Approximately 90%.
That has been said here tonight by several witnesses. If the Teamsters are non-representative of their members, how do you reply to an accusation like that?
Well, at the time that we entered into the recognition agreement, which was the first part of the agreement in 1970, the Teamsters representative were in the process of signing up and did sign up an average of 2,500 farm workers a week. And this rate continued through the period in which the Teamsters came to an agreement with UFOR.
With the
United Farm Workers
Advocates. Okay. Well, some reference has been made tonight to a recent California State Supreme Court decision involving the Chavez Union and the Teamsters. Were the Teamsters a party to that union?
No.
Or to that
suit?
Thank you. As a lawyer, I appreciate the help. They were not a party to the suit. Did they enter a brief of any type in their own defense?
No, we didn't.
So this decision by the Supreme Court never had as a part of the briefs filed anything from the Teamsters. They were not defendants, they were not parties, they did not file briefs.
That's correct.
Had the Teamsters chosen to do so, could you have filed evidence with the court that in fact their conclusion that you were not representative of these workers was an incorrect conclusion?
Yes, we could have.
And what would have been some of that evidence?
The evidence would have been the rate at which we were signing workers, the fact that we did have a majority of the workers before the agreements were concluded, the fact that the workers did participate in collective bargaining, since our organizers were authorized to represent them, as well as soliciting their opinions before the contracts were completed.
One last question.
Mr. Grammy, we're here tonight to decide which union has God on its side. They both got priests on their side. You tell us, please, why is your union better for the farm worker than the Chavez Union?
Well, I believe we've demonstrated in the number of people we are able to organize and the type of agreement we're able to produce for the farm workers. Since 1961, which was before the farm workers were organized, we had collective bargaining agreements in the farms themselves. Bud Antle and Mapes are two of them. There's another one that escapes my mind at the moment, Yoder Nursery. In those agreements, we have unemployment insurance, which California state law, by the way, permits the grower to pay or permits a union to elicit from the grower. So the United Farm Workers have no excuse here. We have unemployment insurance that amounts to $1,950 a year to the average harvest worker that UFOC has failed repeatedly to negotiate in their collective bargaining agreement.
Okay, I hate to interrupt, but I think we're going to have to get over to Mr. Aragon for...
Thank you, Mr. Grammy.
Mr. Harmer went to great pains to show that the Teamsters really didn't have much to do with that California Supreme Court decision, although if you read that decision, the word Teamsters appears at least once on every page. And it has a declaration from you, interestingly enough, on page 7, which says, Grammy declaration explains that the Teamsters' interest in representing the field workers stemmed primarily from that union's representation of truck drivers and food processing workers who would be adversely affected if the field workers went on strike. Now, isn't it the truth? The only reason you're organizing the field workers is to keep them from going on strike and protect the jobs of your truck drivers.
The quote is primarily interested, and if you realize what's been happening in the food processing industry, which you're probably not too familiar
with, that's an accurate quote.
The work has been moving into the field from the processing plants, and we've been following it for the last 27 years. And consequently, we have been making a continual effort to follow that work.
In other words, you admit that you're interested in representing the field workers because you don't want them to go on strike and jeopardize jobs in your
contract. No, we have a community of interest, the processing worker with the field worker. The field worker can't harvest crops if the processing plant is shut down. We can represent and do adequately both groups of workers. That is done in the fields was formerly done in plants and vice versa. It jumps back and forth.
So it's not a very good idea for the field workers to go out on strike. The California court found that you not only did not claim to represent farm workers, and I can't believe that an organization as sophisticated as yours would have been so naive as to not end testimony if they thought they had a chance to win. You didn't even make an effort to talk to the farm workers until after you'd signed the contracts. Now, in the face of that, knowing that you hadn't even tried to talk to the farm workers, why did you sign those contracts?
Well, number one, the court is lacking in evidence, which we, as you know, we did not participate in the court decision.
Why not?
We didn't for obvious reasons. We were meeting with the Bishop's Committee and UFOC in an attempt to resolve our dispute.
You were too busy.
We were not named as a... We were quite busy attempting to resolve the dispute between UFOC, the Teamsters, with the participation of the AFL-CIO and the Bishop's Committee.
You didn't think the Supreme Court decision was important?
The Supreme Court decision was between the growers and UFOC. We didn't interfere in that.
One last question, please, Mr. Arnold.
Well, one of the things that I know is missing in your contracts, which have been so praised here by Senator Harmer, is that you don't talk much about the conditions of work, and yet farm work is one of the most hazardous occupations in the United States. Now, why have you failed to provide protection for your farm workers that every other union tries to get for its workers?
Well, you failed to read the contract adequately, then, Mr. Aragon, because we, in the contract... Under the health and safety clause, instead of writing 20 pages on health and safety, we incorporate all laws with respect to food handling, housing, pesticides, and any other matter, safety of equipment. All laws are automatically incorporated into the agreement.
Gentlemen, I'm sorry I have to interrupt. Mr. Grammy, thanks very much for being here. Completes the cases on both sides, and now it's time for a brief summary from each advocate, and we'll begin with Mr. Herman.
There are about 190 lettuce growers in the western United States. 2 years ago, the United Farm Workers represented six of those, or had contracts with six of them. Now they have contracts with three. The Teamsters have contracts with 170 of them, and you have seen demonstrated here tonight that in a comparison of the two contracts, the Teamster contract far exceeds the Chavez Union contract in terms of what the farm worker gets out of it. The farm workers are joining the Teamsters Union because it gives them a better service. Now, if you vote tonight to continue the boycott, you're voting to take away jobs from workers who are working for unions, who are working under the Teamsters Union contract. If you decide to continue in this boycott, you're participating in doing away with jobs, bankrupting growers, and in effect, perpetrating the biggest fraud of all upon those concerned. The solution isn't the boycott. The solution is the extension of appropriate legislation to protect all parties and their rights. Thank you.
something?
Well, we've heard the world turned upside down tonight. You know, the real world out there. You've heard the Teamsters lecturing Cesar Chavez about ethics, and you've heard the growers talking very concernedly about farm workers' rights, the same people they repressed for over 100 years. Cesar Chavez came to you for support in the great boycott, and everybody won. The farm workers got social justice, and the grape growers have had the best year they've ever had in the last year. The farm workers need your help if they're to achieve their rights through their own union. Support the boycott. Support Cesar Chavez and boycott AMP.
Mr. Argon. Now it's time for all of you here with us at Faneuil Hall and those of you at home to get in on the act and to vote tonight in two ways. To vote as consumers in your decision as to whether or not to support the lettuce boycott, and secondly, to vote with us in the advocates' poll. We would like to know what you think. Do you support the national lettuce boycott? Send us your vote in a letter or postcard and mail it to the advocates, box 1973, Boston 02134. This is a question that interests the lawmaker, because by the laws they make, the Congress and state legislatures have the power to help or hinder the organizing efforts of the Farm Workers Union. Let us know what you think, and we will inform the Congress and others concerned with the problem. So remember the address, the Advocates, Box 1973, Boston 02134. 4 weeks ago, the advocates debated the question, should we create a national court of...